The scripture this evening will be taken from the book of Acts, chapter 16, and we'll be reading in verses 6 to 10. Acts chapter 16, verses 6 to 10. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they began to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Christ permitted them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and said to him, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel unto them. Having completed our missionary conference 2 weeks ago, and having had an opportunity to reflect on all that God had spoken to us through His servants during those 8 days, I thought it well this evening to bring it all to somewhat of a closure. After these 2 weeks, you've made your decisions, God has spoken to your hearts, and you've responded. You've asked the Lord what He'd have you to do in the way of pledging, and they've just about all come in, and we're thankful for what God has done, and we're looking to Him to meet the continuing need. I thought that we'd look this evening one more time at that statement that was the theme of our conference, "Come and help us." Several of the missionaries and the other speakers made reference to this during the week, and how that might speak to us about needs that were on their particular field. Now, as the scripture tells us, Paul and Silas and Timothy had just come from the great council at Jerusalem. And they had gone down, Paul and Silas had gone down to Lystra, and they met Timothy there and were led of the Spirit of God to take Timothy along with them on this missionary journey. And God was leading them by His Spirit and directing them in the way that they should go to bring this gospel to all the cities and towns where they had set forth to go. But a seemingly strange thing happened as they went along. They set their course to go down through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, but it says they were forbidden of the Holy Spirit to preach the word in those areas. Then later it says they came to Mysia, and they began to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit of Christ permitted them not to go to Bithynia. Now one wonders, before they set out on their course, did they not pray and seek the Lord's mind of where they should go? Certainly they did. But God directs His servants, and God in His divine providence guides and directs His people in carrying out His work. And although it was certainly right and purposeful and correct for them to be concerned about these areas, and no doubt they needed to hear the gospel in those locations, certainly, and it was on their heart to preach there, but it wasn't God's time. Because God was of a mind to send them down to a different area. They were going to go right through Mysia. They didn't preach there either, and they came down into Troas. And Paul was there with his friends, probably wondering what happened. Why did God not permit us to preach in those other places? But God in his time revealed the plan to Paul. And in the night, he had this vision. And he saw a man from Macedonia. He stood there before him, and he said unto him, "Come over unto Macedonia and help us." And the scripture says, and after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go to Macedonia, being assured that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel unto them. Now, as we go through our Christian lives, many points along the way, we need to determine what God's will is in a certain matter. Wouldn't it be good if we could have some experiences like Paul had? Maybe you're wrestling with something now that you're trying to determine God's will in a certain situation. That'd be nice if tonight when you went to bed, a messenger from God could come into your room and wake you up and tell you what to do. Or if you believe God might be calling you to a short-term mission experience or several years in a mission experience, wouldn't it be good if God would tell you what that is through some messenger? Truly, as we look at this, we say, well, yes, and if God were to do that, just like Paul, I would get up and immediately I would go. And I would do as the Lord told me to do, being assured that this indeed was the will of God for me. But in my own personal experience, I've never had any visions. Now, maybe some others have. Certainly, Paul had other visions. Certainly, in the Old Testament, God spoke to his people through visions and signs and wonders. But that has not been my experience. What my experience been as my Christian life, as I've needed direction, is that God spoke to me, one, through his word, through the study of the word, and in other ways through his servants, men and women who proclaim and speak at various places, or through something they have written. That's how I have received direction. And when something comes to me, either in an oral expression or something written in a book or a pamphlet that one of God's people has put together, I read a lot of things, as you probably do. And I receive them and take what I can from them, and then I forget them. But certain things along the way stick with me, that this indeed is a word from the Lord for me now. Just as Paul said there, he couldn't go into those other places, but when this man of Macedonia stood there, he says, "Assuredly, I know now that God has spoken, and we are going to Macedonia." And he got himself up, and he and his friends, they went. God speaks through his people. God speaks through his word. He sets the times and the courses for his servants. God will direct you. He will use the person of his choice. It'll be God's person in God's place, but it'll be in God's time. And sometimes when we believe God is leading us in a good thing to do, some area of service for him, just as these brethren were going to go to those other cities, when God is leading you, there may be obstacles that'll come in your way. And you'll say, well, now I believe God is leading me in this way. I know that this good work needs to be done. I know it's God's will. And why do I come against these obstacles? God is delaying it to test you, to develop patience, to develop trust. And the thing that he has ordained for you may not yet be ready. But it will be in a little time. And when it comes to you, the Holy Spirit will so impress you with it that you'll right get up, like Paul did, and you say, I'm heading in that direction, because I know assuredly that this is the will of God for me. Now, as we look to God's people for direction, I think of this conference just passed. So many wonderful messages. So many servants of God that came and shared their lives with us, shared their experiences with us, challenged us, and said, come and help us. I came from such and such a place. Come and help them. They need help. Go here and help. There's an opportunity to help. I think of the Thursday evening, the night of medical missions, when Dr. Robert Foster and Dr. Richard Morse and Lois Rickman stood up in this pulpit, and they told how God had spoke to them to use their lives and the gifts that God had given to them for His purposes, in the healing of people, and in so doing, showing forth the love and grace and mercy and compassion of Christ, that others may come to know Him in salvation as well as healing. There were in those three individuals over 100 years of service for Christ in the field of medical missions. And Lois Rickman was the last to speak that evening. And she told how in the Central Africa Republic, she had served for so long in the clinic, most of the time with no doctor. And she had to do things that doctors would do in other places. Oftentimes just praying and hoping that what she did was right. And sometimes it helped and other times it didn't. And she told that story which so touched our hearts, of the woman that had been mauled by the hyena and her leg was all torn and ripped. And she came in there to the clinic and she asked Lois to help her. And here was a registered nurse with all these years of experience, with limited medications and a few things that she could use to help. And she couldn't do anything for the woman. She thought, if I only had a doctor. I've served so many years out here without a doctor. If there was just a doctor here that could fix this condition, could apply the healing arts to this woman, put stitches in, whatever she needed. It would have been so easy. Yet the woman died right there in front of her. And although she didn't say it in those words, she said, come and help the people of the Central Africa Republic. How long more will they go in that clinic without a doctor? And I was reminded just this weekend that in the Boston area, there are about 30,000 doctors in the greater Boston area. Now, many of those are in research in the universities and the medical schools and so on. 30,000. And not a one in that clinic in the Central Africa Republic. Come and help. At the conclusion of that service, I was standing by the organ, and a doctor came down, and he spoke to me. He said, God spoke to my heart tonight. He said, I believe that God has been leading me in the direction of medical missions. But he says, it was confirmed tonight that God wants me to give my life to Him, to serve Him with the gift that I have. No dream, no vision, but a man and a woman of God telling their testimony and saying, come and help us. And the Holy Spirit impressed it upon that gentleman that he should fill that need. On another evening, After the missionary spoke, I was down in the front once again, and a woman came up. And she said, God spoke to me tonight. I didn't know what I should do regarding my pledge this year, but God spoke to me. And a certain portion of that is going to go to this individual. God speaks to hearts. And then the following Sunday, we saw the copy of the Under the Spire. And as one of the articles is here by a physician, says, here am I, send me. And a picture of three doctors right here from our church who say that God is leading them to give their lives for medical missions right from our own church. How I thank God for this. And how I thank God that when the word goes forth and the appeal goes forth from God's servants, that men and women here are open to the Spirit of God, will hear His voice, and will serve Christ with the gifts that God has given to them. Then I shall not soon forget Wednesday evening, when Dr. John Aker spoke from this pulpit. And he told us how he came to commit his life in a new and fresh way to Jesus Christ that led him into the ministry in evangelical churches, to a great church in Rockford, Illinois, with 2,600 people. And then led him out from that when he heard the call, come and help us, for Russia and the other independent states that were once the Soviet Union. And he saw the great opportunity in that part of the world. Now, as a young lad, he went into a religious order. And he was taught and instructed in that religious order for a period of 9 years. Had wonderful teaching regarding the scriptures, regarding the Christian life, regarding the disciplines of life and the moral life. Was dedicated and committed. But then he had a crisis in his life in the early 20s. And he left that religious order and then went out into employment with the United States government for a number of years. And during that time, he said he left it all behind, all that religious activity that had been so much a part of his life, he just turned his back on it all. And he was out doing other things. Then he had another crisis in his experience, and he came back home and found that his father had come to a personal faith in Jesus Christ. And when he poured out his soul and his heart to his father and told him about the great distress that was in his soul, his father told him about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. This man was brought up with that since he was a lad. He was in a religious order where they meditated and thought about these things daily. He knew about Jesus Christ. But through all of that, apparently, he didn't have that personal relationship. He did not have the assurance of the forgiveness of sins. I can't go into all the details that he went into, but through that experience with his fathers, he released himself, he submitted himself, he trusted, he believed, whatever you, however you want to call it, he committed himself to Jesus Christ, and he saw that Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross paid it all for man's salvation. And that it was not by the works that he did, though they were many and wonderful works. It was not by knowing the Bible in Latin and Greek and English that brought him to Christ. Many works of the mortification of the flesh. Many readings, the getting up in the middle of the night to sing the Psalms. That all of that did not give him assurance of the forgiveness of sins and a right relationship with God. But he said that night, when he laid his head on that pillow, he said he had the assurance that he was right with God. He had the assurance of sins forgiven. That all those other years he had never had, though he sought it so earnestly. And in something I'll never forget, he told us about the cross of Christ. And he spoke of the seven last words of Jesus on that cross. And the meaning of the death of Christ. And how we ought to meditate on that. And how we ought to consider the great sufferings of Christ and the price he paid with his shed blood on that cross for our sins. And that was a missionary message, because Christ died on that cross for the sins of the world. Not just those in this sanctuary, just not those in North America, not just those who have access to the Bible, but he died for the sins of the world, for those multitudes around the world who have yet to hear his name. I was informed just this week that that's about 1.3 billion people. Think of it. And I thought as I was going home that evening, if this man who had been around all of these religious Christian things for so long didn't comprehend the full meaning of the cross, the finished work of Christ for him, until the Holy Spirit broke through and revealed this to him in all its fullness, changed his entire life, and brought it to the point where he came to be with us that week. How many multitudes of others have never heard the name of Jesus once, other than a historical figure? They've never heard the gospel. No one has ever brought it to them. 1.3 billion people. Yet, in all of these groups, wherever they are around the world, there's a few believers. And they cry out to us, and they say, come and help us. Come and help us. Send us some that will help us. Not that will come and take over our work or put some American model on what we're doing, no. But come and help us. They will tell you what they need, but come and help us, that others may know of Jesus Christ and his saving love. What is our response? Come and help us. Did you hear from God's servants during that week? I know there weren't many here during the week, but most of you probably were here on one of the Sundays. And when you received the challenge, did you answer? I want to tell you what some of the people are doing at Park Street Church who have heard that challenge. Come and help us. There's our high school team this summer going down to Bolivia. They heard the call to go down and to build some dormitories in a Christian camp so that more boys and girls can come to that camp and spend some time there in recreation and instruction, but also hear the Word of God. And some of them can learn what it means to be a Christian young man and young woman. And so a group of young people, teenagers from Park Street Church, said, we'll go and we'll help in Bolivia. Another group of 16 young professionals from within our own church representing two Bible studies. I don't have time to tell you how God spoke to these individuals and brought them together. But they believe that God would have them to take a period of time this summer to go and to do what they can to help at some mission field. And so as they investigated, they found that there was a need still in the Dominican Republic. In the same area where Doug Calhoun and the young adults went on previous occasions and began that work of building a school, a Christian school in that area for the boys and girls in that location so they could come and get a Christian education and learn what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ and learn what it means to be a servant of Christ in their culture. And then in January of this year, John Kyler and his Seekers brought another group down to do more work on that school. And now this summer, these 16 young professionals from Park Street Church that God has spoken to, they are giving themselves to go to continue that work, that we might see that to completion, that which God has given our hand to do in the Dominican Republic. I think of the medical missions team that was down in Jamaica in February. 8 men and women joined 95 others to go down and to give of the gifts that God had given to them, that men and women and young people in that area could be healed and could receive medical care that they so desperately need. And even right now, they're preparing and getting ready for another team to go down, not from Park Street, but another group from around the country in June. And all the ailments and sicknesses that they have, the hospital down there cannot care for them. They do not have the staff. They just have a couple of general doctors. And they're not able to do a great many surgeries and things that must wait until someone from the United States and Canada comes down. My friends, I want to tell you, when people from this church and others go down to a place like that, lives are saved physically. And the word of God goes forth, and people hear the word and are challenged and come to a personal faith in Jesus Christ. And they say to you, as we left there in February, they said, "Thank you so much for coming." They said, "For many, you saved our lives. When are you coming back? Come and help us again. Come and help us again." There are numerous other young men and women that are preparing to go out to places throughout the world this summer from Park Street Church in a short-term experience. And then there are 3 couples that I'm working with right now, young couples who are in the process of going out in full-time Christian service. I don't know whether that's going to be 1 term or 2 terms or whatever it is, but they have contacted the mission agency and they're in process. Some are getting more education. Some are winding things down at their work, but they're in process and going out this summer to receive more training until they get to that field that God has called them to go to. Young couples going out, answering that call, "Come and help us." You see, you may come to all the meetings at the conference and you might wonder, what is happening? I trust that you have answered the call, whatever it may be that God has spoken to you through these days. A conference like this is just not slogans, just not a great many people reporting and speaking and challenging, but it's obedience to that which we hear. And may God speak to our hearts. And may we make those necessary decisions, whether it would be some personal involvement. And you don't have to go to the ends of the earth by any means. We had a young man here this morning, Chris Troy, from Young Life in Boston. He came and he says, "Come and help us in Roxbury, Mattapan, Dorchester." Dan Harrell was here with a group of churches and young people from all over the greater Boston area, about 600 of them yesterday. They said, "Come, help us. Come, join us. Let us band together for the healing of our city. Let us be an example as young men and women who name Jesus Christ to be an example for good in this city." And so they say to others, "You come, help us." No, you don't have to go around the world. There's plenty of need right here where we are. Are you open to hear God's call? And then finally, those that came and spoke to us, and those that send letters, and They can't always be here. They have needs. They need to have their support met. And we've committed ourselves to that here at Park Street Church, but we can only do it as you respond. They need prayer. They wait upon us to pray and remember them before the Lord and the work that God has called them to do. And then they need to have fellowship with us. Paul would write to the churches in Macedonia, and he would say, I think of you so often. He says, I pray for you all of the time. And he says, I long to be with you that I may share with you. Oh, my friends, do we so love God's servants that he has called and prepared in a special way and sent to a special place right from our own fellowship here? Do we care for them and love them enough to write to them, to communicate with them, to know that we're thinking about them, that we're praying for them, that we're faithful in the necessary support that's going to keep them where they are for the completion of their term, and then they'll be back again with us and tell us about it. Oh, may we be found faithful and be found obedient to that which God calls us to do. May God grant it. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you do speak to us through your word, through your servants. We thank you for those who have you have brought into our midst. And Lord, now continue your work in our lives. That good work which you have begun, and not only those who are gathered here, but others who you spoke to during that week. Lord, bring it to completion, that we may find your goodwill and purpose, be found in you, working for you, abiding for you, your witness, that the kingdom of God may be spread throughout all the world until Jesus comes. Amen.